right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Louis B. Free Radio Show, Brain Food from the Heartland. Lauren, I'm so sorry. Thank you for holding, and good morning to you and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Tell us, before we get into some of the Energy Star programs and issues, tell us about yourself, if you would, please.
Sure. I'm with the Natural Resources Defense Council, and we are an environmental nonprofit. We are based in New York, but work throughout the country and actually throughout the world, protecting the environment, protecting public health, and my specific role, I work to make sure that the buildings and the equipment inside of them are really as energy efficient as possible. So making sure that the buildings and homes and customers don't waste money and don't waste energy unnecessarily.
How did you become involved, if you don't mind if I ask?
Sure, not at all. So, you know, it's always being sustainable and really, really not wasting is something that has just always been drilled into me from a really young age. And it was something that I've always been really interested in the environment and been interested in how to really make sure that beautiful places stay beautiful and what can we as people do to make sure that that's the case. And energy is such a big part of our lives and really has a big impact on everything in the environment and everything in the world, and making sure that people use less but still remain comfortable and still have a great quality of life is something that is really important to me and has been for a while.
So good parenting, is that you were kind of raised this way and continued, if you don't mind if I ask?
Raised that way, raised as it's really just a common sense thing, and have found that it's been a great way to also make sure that it can have a positive impact on the world and on the environment, while helping to educate folks about what they can do too.
And that's wonderful, and I love that I love that y'all at NRDC do that, because obviously fighting the lobbyists in Washington and elsewhere has got to be a very, 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 very difficult. So let's talk a little bit about Energy Star. Explain it so that we can understand exactly what
it is.
Sure,
certainly. So a lot of people are familiar with the Blue Energy Star label. You've probably seen it on electronics or appliances or other equipment. So this is a program that is actually voluntary. Manufacturers don't have to participate in this program, but it's administered by the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. And it's a partnership, really, between the EPA and manufacturers, utilities, and others. And it was actually launched in 1992 under the first George Bush administration. Excuse me. And it's really been highly successful. About 90% of Americans recognize that blue and white label. And about half of U.S. households purchase Energy Star products in any given year, which this is a program that has had an enormous amount of success. It costs every year about $50 million to run, to administer, but produces savings of more than $30 billion with a B. So that's a huge return on an investment, and is really just a great example of a government program that works as it's designed to.
When you it actually works as it's designed to, which has got to be unusual. I mean, you work a lot with this. So it's got to be unusual. And I'm glad you mentioned the EPA. We still have an EPA, correct?
We sure do.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that, right? But, okay, so let's talk a little bit more about this. I mean, again, it's a public-private partnership, correct?
That's right.
That is got to be one of the rare ones that works so successfully. Am I accurate in saying that?
It works because it is such a strong partnership, and I think one of the things that you bring up is that the program actually is risk. Under the most recent budget proposal from the president's budget proposal, there's a risk of this program completely being zeroed out. And that's really bad for consumers, and it's really bad for businesses, because this is such a strong partnership. And it really just doesn't make any sense that this successful program would be on the chopping block. $50 million of a budget in the grand scheme of the federal budget is not even a drop in the bucket. It's smaller than a drop in a bucket. And the impact and the information that it provides to consumers is really just so incredibly valuable. It just doesn't make sense to cut a program that's working so well.
I'm looking at some of the statistics that I have in front of me. American households and businesses save $430 billion on utility bills since 1992, close to, well, I guess maybe $70 billion isn't close to $500 billion, but oh well, it's close to, I think, close to $500 billion. 2.7 billion metric tons of greenhouse gas emissions have been avoided since 1992. And Americans have purchased over 300 million Energy Star certified products in 2015. Wow.
Yeah, it is a really big program. So the labels found on more than 70 different types of products, which can include, like I said, appliances, but also office equipment, light bulbs. It's also found on new homes. You can buy an Energy Star certified new home. And what the label means is that those products are about 25% more efficient than the federal standard. So the federal efficiency standard is the minimum efficiency that any product in a certain category has to meet. And Energy Star is better than that. So it's really for consumers who are looking to make sure that they're getting a high quality product that saves them energy as well. And it's just a home run.
For everybody, and of course the environment. Talk with us a little bit about the weatherization assistance to states, this $250 billion program, correct? Correct me if I give a wrong statistic, Lauren, please correct me.
So yeah, the weatherization assistance program, this is administered by the Department of Energy, but in partnership with individual states. So Ohio, for example, gets about in 2015 used DOE funding to leverage additional funding from other federal programs and other state programs to invest a total of about $68 million in Ohio in weatherization. And what this program is, it serves lower income customers and helps them improve the efficiency of their homes. So since the program started in the 70s, I believe it started in 1976, there have been more than 7 million low-income families that have been helped by this program throughout the country. And it will do things like install insulation and upgrade lighting and help with not only the comfort of the home, but also the energy bills, which is really what it's designed to do. And it also then creates jobs. In Ohio, in 2015, these 2015 investments led to more than 5,000 jobs. Those are local jobs. Those are jobs that can't be outsourced. It's actually people that are going out, installing insulation, making sure that cracks and things like that are sealed in homes. And it's helping a community that spends much more than average on their energy bills.
These are the type of programs, Lauren, forgive my ignorance on this. I know that they have, like, in the county, I think it's a county, I don't think it's just a city program, that I broadcast from, there's a program called MyCap that helps low-income people with their energy, with, I guess, gas and electric. Is that the type of program? I mean, I know you don't know that specific program because it's just in the county, but would that where some of the money, the concern about that
yeah,
not being
so
funded?
Absolutely. There are programs that help both with paying utility bills. So there's a federal low-income heating assistance program, which also is a very similar concept that helps in cases of emergencies. it's called the LIHEAP program.
Okay.
That is really just for bill assistance, whereas the weatherization assistance program tries to provide a similar type of help, meaning that lowering utility bills are the end result, but goes at it from the source. So asks the question, how do we make this house use less energy so that utility bills are more affordable? And then further assistance may then not be needed because the bills are no longer through the roof because the house is tighter, the house is more comfortable, and the house is using less.
I get it. Again, and I know I'm repeating some of what you're saying, but when they weatherize the home, then, you know, they're obviously, you know, we've all seen, you know, read or heard about, you know, a crack or, you know, a small crack can lead to a dramatic loss of heat in the home. So then as the homes are weatherized so that the assistance doesn't have to be as much because the bill isn't as high. I know you just said that, but that's, I'm sorry, I'm having a wacky morning.
No, exactly. Okay. And okay. Zeroing out the weather assistance program is actually another thing that is proposed in the president's budget. And that would be particularly harmful for people in Ohio and people elsewhere. But roughly one in three Ohio households pays more than 30% of their income on housing and utilities. So a third of Ohioans are paying more than a third of their income just to meet their basic housing and utility needs. And electricity bills in Ohio are higher than the Midwest average, about $115 or so a month. So, you know, these costs are high, and there are – efficiency is a great way to help keep those costs under control. And having these programs is really beneficial. People benefit from them, and cutting them really just does not make sense.
So, by the way, how are you time-wise? Do you have how much time do you have for me?
I'm good for at least another 10 minutes or
okay,
so.
Great. So you're okay to go with me for a little bit longer because I think this is really important. And I know I'm repeating a lot of what you're saying, and forgive me, but I think sometimes, you know, that to echo things makes a stronger impact. And when I'm thinking a third of Ohioans are paying a third of their income towards energy bills. Is that's what you said?
Housing and utilities combined. So housing costs are also in there.
I see. Okay.
But utilities make up a big portion of that. So
anywhere
that can be reduced is more money back in people's pockets, and is more money that they are then able to spend in other parts of the economy.
When you have a situation like what is being proposed, I mean, again, the effect is going to be so broad, correct? That's what you're. I mean, again, that's the point of what you're saying, that this is going to be a tremendous impact, a negative impact on all of us, U.S. and hence the world, because of the environmental impact.
Yeah, that's right. And another piece that I want to make sure I point out, so we've been talking a lot about the Energy Star program, which is the voluntary program, but to the partnership between manufacturers and the Environmental Protection Agency. But the really big benefits from energy efficiency actually come from energy efficiency standards, which are something a lot of people just really don't think a lot about. So if you buy any kind of, really about 90% of the products that use energy in your home are covered by a minimum efficiency standard. And what that means is that these products can't use more than a certain amount of energy. And this program has been in place since the Reagan administration. It was actually signed into law by President Reagan. And it covers, like I said, about 90% of the products in your home, but it's also at risk of a giant funding cut. And what that could mean is that, you know, the importance of standards is that if you have ever had your water heater die in the middle of the night, you're not thinking about what product is going to save you the most energy over the next 10 years.
You just want
a new water heater.
That's right.
And so standards make it so that you don't have to think about that, so that any product that's going to be on the truck that comes out that is going to be installed in your home is meets a minimum level of energy performance, and that over the next 10 years, you're not stuck with this energy hog to heat your water. So having that type of baseline program that then allows a program like Energy Star to build on top of it and have even more efficient products that are called out for consumers is again, a really important consumer protection that works really, really well behind the scenes. It's something that, because it works so well, consumers don't have to think about it. And things like a refrigerator is now so much more efficient than it used to be. Your refrigerator uses about a quarter of the energy as a fridge did in the 70s, wow. but is actually wow. about 20% bigger and costs wow. half as much to run. So really big numbers.
Yeah, that's huge. I know that that when you think about it actually being bigger and using a lot less energy, again, I think I worry, I'm an aging flower child. I'm worried about my generation not caring enough. I at one time I thought, you know, it was save the planet and all the wonderful things, and I'm concerned. And with a bill like this, with this proposed budget, we need to be very concerned. What can we do?
Well, I think that for your listeners that are concerned, definitely Representative Tim Ryan, who represents Youngstown and the surrounding areas, is an appropriator. That means that he is one of the people in charge of making sure that the budget, the federal budget, makes sense. So I think that contacting him makes a lot of sense, letting him know that efficiency is really important and that it makes sense. It doesn't matter what your political persuasion is. This is really something that, if anything, should be bipartisan. Saving energy, saving money, being more comfortable in your home should be it. So it is something. Senator Portman has been a champion for common sense energy efficiency legislation. We think this budget proposal is anything but common sense, really. And so contacting members of Congress, they like to hear from their constituents, and it's really important that everyone does have a voice with this. And it is something that has created so many benefits, really, even if they're quiet benefits, the benefits are there, and they are at risk of going away.
And again, these are tremendous numbers, and I wonder what people would do without those the programs. And somebody had just contacted me a couple of minutes ago and said that is the program at an organization called MyCap in the community that I broadcast from. So that helps untold amount of people. I don't know. It's probably, you know, there's probably in this community, you know, I'm sure the numbers are private or confidential, but I'm sure there's got to be a lot of people because of the economics here, because the economics, at
For
least
sure.
in the cities, are so so bad. And I don't know, what do people do? What are they going to do to heat their homes? I mean, I'm not expecting you to answer that, but what will people, if they don't have these subsidies or something or help, what happens? I shudder to think. Right?
And that's why we think it's so important that your listeners need to know that they have a voice and that these programs are really at risk. I mean, because honestly, the thought of cuts to a program as popular and common sense as Energy Star, that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, there were more than 1,000 businesses that signed a letter to Congress asking that the Energy Star program be saved. So, you know, when you have that kind of support, and you have support for that program from really so many varying groups, and I think that the low-income assistance programs are the same way, where you have just this broad base of support, but yet these programs are still at risk. And it doesn't make any sense. And hearing not only from businesses, but also from individuals who benefit from these programs or care about these programs is incredibly important.
Lauren, I've got to ask you, and I know you got to go in a minute, but are you getting a positive response from people? I mean, are you optimistic? I'm much more freaked out than I was a half hour ago. Seriously, and in a good way, in a proactive way. But are you optimistic? Or
you know,
that's a terrible question.
I'm
sorry.
We don't know how things are going to end up, and we are really working as hard as we can to make sure that these common sense programs continue and are fully funded. It looks like it's an uphill battle, really. It is something that we are continuing to push for and continuing to make sure that the word gets out about these programs. So having the opportunity to talk with you and spread the word is incredibly important. But the fight's far from over. So certainly something to stay on top of.
And this is something that you can't just expect everybody else to do. I mean, this is something that people have got to be. This is important for all of us. All of us, U.S., and obviously hence the world. I've got to tell you, Lauren, I'm so glad that you were on this morning, and you're welcome back anytime. I love the work of the NRDC. Y'all do incredible work, and you're always welcome on Louis B. Free Radio Show, Brain Food from the Heartland. So as I always say, be strange, but don't be a stranger. Come back and please update us.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for being on. Folks, we'll be back with more on the Louis B. Free Radio Show, Brain Food from the Heartland.